GNC 549. It's Thursday, February 4th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a primer of the Tech Podcast Network. Yes, very rare recording here, and because, yes, I'm getting ready to go to the Windy City, and I hear it might be mighty cold, but you know what time it is. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go flight.
Microphone.
We're go flight.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go flight.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Oahu. And yes, I have just about an inch and a half of Red Bull left in my glass. I have a... very rare bottle of Perrier here, actually in a glass as well, and ready to be poured on a bunch of computers before it's all over. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. My name is Todd Cochran. I want to encourage you to get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content over there. Of course, check out the archive podcast on the podcast link. Can you believe it? Show 549. We're almost at 550, and I'm not even really celebrating the 550th show. We're just, going to keep on marching on to 600. But, hey, got a great show for you tonight. And I want to welcome all the new listeners to the show. I know we were gaining numbers and watching the stat system every week after week. Man, you guys keep piling in, which is good. And if you're a new listener to the show, hey, welcome to the family. Welcome to the Ohana. And, of course, I want to welcome listeners from 161 countries worldwide that tune into the show. And many of you are signing up for the newsletter. Get signed up for that newsletter. You'll find that link in the second column of the website. That'll get you all of the show notes, along with the link to the media, if you're not already downloading it and subscribed to it, of all the content that I covered during the show tonight, including listener submissions as well. Listener submissions are easy. Geeknews@gmail.com. Geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is +1. That's area code 1, or actually country code 1. And then 619-342-7365. So I'll be repeating that throughout the show. And again, if you have any comments that you want to email me, you can do so. Or you can call the voicemail hotline and leave your voice reply on what you liked or what disliked about the show or whatever it may be. So feel free to use that. That's open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Well, yes, it is a very rare Wednesday evening recording. And I probably made a mistake when I was getting ready to do the show. In Honolulu right now, it's chilly. Yes, you heard me say that correct. It's chilly. The house is actually closed up. No windows are open because it's been in the 60s today. And maybe, high 60s and low 70s. But that's like freezing around here. And so I didn't even have anything opened up in the office. The office was nice and cool. And now that I've got all the doors shut, I can feel the temperature increasing. So it'll probably turn into a sauna in here. But I am heading to where it's really cold. And I'm hearing, I actually got an email from Mike Dell saying, Todd, pack warm because there might be a winter storm heading that way. And I'm like, I don't want to hear that, Mike. That's the last thing I want to look for. I was actually going to bring up weather.com and take a peek and see what he was referring to. And let's see if we can actually get a forecast for the Windy City for the weekend. And, of course, this weekend my team is going to be locking themselves into a hotel room. And we are going to really be... planning out what's going to be happening over the next year. Air quality alert, that's the only thing I see for Chicago. It's 26 degrees Fahrenheit, which isn't too bad. They say there is going to be snow showers tomorrow, and I don't know what the five-day forecast is. We won't worry about that. But, hey, Chicago is built to handle a lot of snow, and seeing it is what it is. And I'm going to enjoy getting together with the team and planning strategy for 2010. on what we're going to be doing at Rob Waits. And really, what we've done in the past is we've picked locations that were not super glamorous and locked ourselves into a hotel room. Now that we've really gotten ourselves kind of, you know, trained not to go and, you know, go fool around, we actually are trusting ourselves to be in Chicago for the weekend. And we've figured good food, good hotels, probably good internet speed, central hub of an airline hub. In other words, Chicago, Midway, and so forth. We should be able to get in and out there pretty easily. So, yes, the long johns and the heavy jacket with the gloves and a hat is packed, unlike my last trip to Florida. So packing off and heading off to Chicago tomorrow afternoon, late tomorrow afternoon. I just get you caught up here. Not a lot really happened over the last couple of days. Kind of feels kind of weird. Really, it's only been a couple of days since the last show. And really, I like the spacing that the show is at right now, where I do a show Monday and Thursday, so far as recording it and then releasing Tuesday and Friday. I like that. This middle of the week thing, it just isn't completely my vibe. But I did find a lot of good news tonight for you, a lot of tech news. That's the most important thing. I still have not, that blogger and copy edit thing has not gotten to the top of my list yet. And largely because between watching Lost last night, the first season premiere of Lost, and actually, I sat through commercials. I told my wife when it was all over, I said, we're not doing that again. I said, we will not watch on Tuesday night. We'll record it. And then Wednesday or Thursday or Friday, I will fast forward through that bad boy through the commercials. I'm not sitting through commercials again. It's probably the first time I've sat through commercials in 5 years. So colossal waste of time to sit through those commercials. I kept reaching for the, you know, the DVR fast forward. And I was like, oh, man, it's not working. So that was, you know, just... I thought, man, here we have, and it's like every 5 minutes there's a commercial. So I really had kind of forgot how many commercials there were in these types of programming. That's why, hey, that's why you like listen to this show. I give you guys two ads and I give you an hour and 15 minutes worth of content. So it's a great value. So anyway, that blogger and copy edit stuff hasn't gotten to the top of my list because number one, it was taxes, getting all the stuff to the accountant. She sent me an email this morning saying, thank you for on closeout 2009 and, you know, And she says, stand by for the tax man. She actually put that in the email. And I was like, oh, man, the tax man taketh. And I hate tax time. I really, really do. You know, you pay all year and then you hope, you know, as an independent business owner, you hope you've made all the right quarterly payments and you haven't overpaid too much or you haven't underpaid too much, but you never know. You really don't. Of course, then this year, my wife has done some part-time work out of the home and I'd kind of not even figured that in. I was like, oh, well, here we go. So, because she just needed to get out, you know, be amongst people. But, so yeah, it's, it sucks. And, we'll see. We'll see how bad the impact is. Hopefully we figure it out and there'll be no big surprises, but I'm not counting on it. I may be looking for some short-time help on video publishing. Actually, I'd probably reach out to Tom over at Fogview. He'd helped me out last year with a little bit like that. I am just out of CPU cycles on getting the rest of the CES videos up. As you can see, there hasn't been a lot this week. So I'm going to encourage you. Matter of fact, I'll flip it over here on the main screen so you guys can see there on Ustream. You guys can just go right over to YouTube and you guys can watch all of my videos from CES right on YouTube itself. You can go to youtube.com/user/geeknews. And I actually had an email from one of our interviewees, and he's got a hip product. And he said, hey, Todd, can you take your video down? Because basically, I don't think we're hip enough for him, and he's worried about the impression. And I'm like, dude, it's like too late. You know, even though the YouTube video has gotten hardly any video downloads, when we put it in the embed and actually let the listeners download it and distribute it amongst the variety of categories that we did, 187,000 downloads. And so we'll see how it responds to that. And of course, this show is the same way. We got a number of you on Ustream right now watching this get distributed over on YouTube as well. But 99.999% of you still tune in to the audio portion of the show. You're subscribed via iTunes or Zune Marketplace. And that's the way we like it. We like you to be subscribed and to be able to download the show and listen to it DVR style. And fast forward through those points in the show that you may not care for, or if you want to get right to the meat, or somebody, I know some of you just listen to the beginning. It's all good, whatever you want to do. But get subscribed to the show. That way you'll guarantee to have it. And I'm downloading some. I always, before I go on a trip, I always make sure my iPod is synced up and I've got all the latest shows I like to listen to as well. And I do some catching up as soon as I get on the airplane. But what else? I think that's it as far as just general announcements. Not a lot of going on here. It's been a couple of days since we've since you were last with me. So let me go ahead and the room is a little dark tonight. I don't know what the story is in here. And actually, I flipped back to the wrong video. And I came in tonight, and I was actually looking at it, Jeffrey. Someone on Ustream said the video looks a little dark. And I was actually playing around with it. So I don't know. I've bumped something or made an adjustment somewhere. So we'll get that figured out. But anyway, it's just nice and cozy. Nice, cozy picture for those of you on Ustream right now. Okay, what else? Hey, let's take care of a little business here. GoDaddy. Man, oh, man. That grid hosting article that I wrote, it's getting a lot of traction. And I did a little more playing around with that service. I'm really impressed. For those of you that need a little more oomph underneath the hood there, and you want to have just a little bit more get up and go than a shared hosting account, that grid computing seems to be a pretty good product. As well, of course, they got great domain names, dedicated servers, virtual dedicated servers, shared hosting accounts, you name it, they've got it. And the best thing about that is I've got the best promo codes as well. So when you get over to GoDaddy and you pick up a domain name or you pick up a variety of their services, when you get to that checkout counter, don't forget me. Don't forget the old geek here at Geek News Central, because you can use the code COMSALE, get .coms at $7.49. You can use the code Todd to save 10% on non-domain orders. Geek5 to save 15% on orders $20 or more. Todd20 to save yourself. And that code is working. I got confirmation from the GoDaddy folks today. Todd20 will save you 20% on a one-year shared hosting account. So make sure you get over there to GoDaddy and pick up some products. And if you're not in the market for that, share those codes with your friends, family members, blog back about it, tweet my codes, do whatever you can. That keeps the lights on. A little dim in here, even though it's, don't worry, it's everything's fine. The power bill has been paid. And check them out. And of course, you can find all of my codes on the website at geeknewscentral.com. Hey, I'm headed towards heavy weather, right? And you may be experiencing heavy weather. Matter of fact, my sister's down in Chesapeake, Virginia, and her kids are finally going to be going back to school after that massive snow, that massive 8 inches of snow hit Chesapeake and, North Carolina and those areas last week. The kids are finally going back to school because they don't have snow plows there. But for all of you that are experiencing that heavy weather, you know, it really makes getting me to meetings clearly almost impossible. So skip the flight, skip the drive, use GoToMeeting to host an online meeting instead. Everyone simply logs on to GoToMeeting.com. Now they can see your computer desktop on their computer screen with just a click. You can host sales presentations, training sessions, product demos right from your own computer. You can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days, but you must visit GoToMeeting.com/techpodcast. That's GoToMeeting.com/techpodcast for a free 30-day trial. People ask me, Todd, why don't you use GoToMeeting to do your like planning sessions for Raw Voice? Well, Raw Voice is, our company is virtual. I work here out of my office. Jeff, who is in New York City, he works in Manhattan. Brian, who is the graphics lead at Raw Voice, is in Denver. Angelo, who is our computer programmer, he is in Columbus. And then Barry, our legal counsel and secretary, he's in Grand Rapids, Michigan. So for us, we getting together twice a year is our way of kind of really molding keeping the ties close with the guys, even though we're on the phone with each other or voice IPing or in a GoToMeeting session almost daily. For us, this is a chance for us to lock ourselves and do some, and really about 18-hour days each day that we're going to be in the Windy City, planning strategy for 2010 and moving forward with our business plan. And it's actually got an article a little later here in the show that's going to talk a little bit about that. But while we do use these great tools, I use them daily. As a matter of fact, I have a meeting at 4 o'clock Central where we're actually meeting with some new media buyers once I get into Florida. Hey, we're going to be using GoToMeeting Session. So you can do business while you're doing business on the road as well, which is pretty cool. Okay, let me go ahead here and load up Chrome and get into the first article of the night. And kind of relaxed here tonight. I'm kind of chilling. I'm not stressing the show too much, which is good. And I found an article over on Tech Dirt. You guys know that I like to rant and rave and jump up and down and scream and pound on the table about the recording industry, and specifically the RIAA. And you know what? I'm not even a musician, but I think I consider myself, I can put myself in their shoes because, you know, I'm here creating content. While it's a different type of content, it's still content that people like to listen to, like to, enjoy. And back, you know, long time ago, when the recording industry was just getting started, we always heard about these horror stories about artists, you know, getting paid pennies on the dollar, you know, putting out these great hits and then really ending up with almost nothing. And fat cats from a variety of recording studios really getting over on these guys. And I ran into an article here in Tech Dirt that talks about Buddy Holly. And he actually recorded. Man, this is beautiful. This is beautiful stuff. It really is. I'm not going to play it. I wanted to play it on the show. It's 6 minutes and 20 seconds long. And you need to go over and listen to this. This is about, it just goes to show you the mindset that the recording industry has had even as far back as Buddy Holly days and the challenges that he ran into in trying to get some of his music released and the way the studios were, you know, played hardball with artists and the tracks that they put down. So definitely check this article over on Tech Dirt. Listen to the 6 minute video, audio, and it's kind of cool because you get to hear how people used to make long distance calls. You can hear the operator connecting with the other operator and saying that the long distance bill was being paid for on one side. It's worth just listening to that part alone. But I'm amazed that he recorded that. I don't know how he, you know, back in, well, I guess I know how he did, but he had it patched in, and you'll be able to hear pretty cool, pretty clear recording, but I'll have that linked up for you in the show notes. All right, you know, over on Geek News Central, we get a fair amount of traffic on the website. Matter of fact, I'm very happy with the ongoing growth of the, not only of the podcast, but also of the daily traffic to GNC. We've got a lot of great writers over there. They're doing, putting up some great articles, and then we're going to be bringing on some more bloggers here in the next couple of weeks. But Engadget, obviously, they are like, they are rock stars when it comes to tech blogging, and the traffic that they get to their site probably would make my server melt in about 15 seconds. And, you know, that they get that seriously, that large, that amount of traffic. It's, you know, probably millions of hits, multiple millions of hits a month. And but Engadget has shut off their commenting system and giving their readership a cooling off period. And this kind of blew me away because they actually thought that the commenting was getting a little out of hand and they instituted a cooling off period for, I'm thinking, man, if I had to institute a cooling off period for commenting on Geek News Central, then you have come of age. But Engadget's owned by AOL. I don't know if you guys know that or not. But I wonder if that came from corporate. I wonder if AOL corporate said, hey, things are getting a little nuts over here. Maybe some sponsors are getting a little freaked out. You know, you wonder if AOL pulled the hammer down on Engadget and said, okay, shut the chat down for a few days. So we'll see what comes of this. Now, they've done this once before, but this is just going to fuel the fire. It really, really is. I don't understand why they did it, but it was their choice. So what do you guys think? You think that AOL corporate made them shut down, or do you think that was a choice of the editors at hand? Now, if you're going to school these days, you guys know that going online, taking classes online are really where it's at. It takes a little bit bigger dedication, and you have to stay on top of things. But apparently, a UCLA professor has been barred from posting videos online for his classes. Apparently, this professor has been forced to stop due to claims of copyright infringement by the Association for Information Media and Equipment. Now, I have never heard of this group, Association for Information Media and Equipment. Now, education gets a really kind of a break on fair use. They're able to use a lot of stuff in the classroom that, you know, that they don't have to really pay any licensing fees for. But even though they feel that at least UCLA feels that the content that the professor was putting up was fair use, they have asked this professor to pull his videos and stop using and putting content online. Can you believe that? It's pretty amazing. Now, what UCLA has done is they're sending students to UCLA's media lab to watch the videos that he has created. And these guys are, the students are having a hard time getting in because the lab is not running regular full-time hours because of the budget considerations in California. And, you know, here we go. Once again, copyright is definitely creating, what should we call it? A lack of progress in the education system. And it's pretty sad that this has had to happen, but that's the word on the street. You know, why doesn't UCLA, if that's an issue, it's not too hard to put up a, you know, username and a password to get into a website that the students are, you know, so at least it's not on the front page of the a public website. It seems like they could get to it via a back end real easy. There's got to be a solution there. And I'm surprised that they don't have a solution in place already. All right, let's talk a little bit on the science side. Cassini has gotten an extension to explore Saturn until 2017. And I didn't even know that the mission was due to end. But NASA gave Cassini a 6.5-year life extension to continue exploring Saturn and its moons. Of course, Cassini launched in 1997 and first arrived at Saturn in 2004 after doing a couple of flybys and getting some gravity boosts by Earth and Venus and so forth. But they are going to continue collecting data and sending the great images back that they have. So this is pretty cool that this mission has got an extension. Now, this next one, boy, oh boy, science is moving so fast and they're finding out so much cool stuff that it really, at times, makes me wonder where they find these people to come up with the stuff that they do. There are some awfully smart scientists out there. And in science news, in the magazine of Society for Science and the Public, there's been 6 papers posted online that present new satellite snapshots of the earliest light in the universe. Now, this data has been is being collected for the first 7 years of data taken by NASA's Wilkinson Microwave Antisotropy Probe. I probably just destroyed that. And researchers have been studying basically the earliest light detected, and really around the Big Bang. And what they've been able to do is to refine the age of the universe. The initial look that they did, they said that the universe was 13.73 billion years old, plus or minus 0.12 billion. Now, their standard deviation says that it's 13.75 billion years old, given or take 0.11 billion. And as I'm reading through this article, some of this stuff makes me go, huh? Now, according to some articles being read or being issued in a theory that's being posted about the universe and when the Big Bang happened, it says that the universe as we know it today ballooned from subatomic scale to the size of a soccer ball during its first 10 to 33 seconds. Now, you think about subatomic to the size of a soccer ball in 10 to 33 seconds. Now, I don't know, you know, that's a pretty big range there. But you look how vast the universe is now, and, you know, how did something that small get so big? And what was around that before that happened? Was there nothing there? You know, this is the thing that makes you just think, you know? You know, when I was a kid, my mom and I used to have discussions about the pyramids and how amazing they were and how they really are. They're truly still an amazing feat that that man was able to build those. And, of course, some people don't think that. Some people think aliens did. But let's, you know, let's consider the fact that if man did build those when they did, the architecture feat that they were able to accomplish. Now, if you think about what we're talking about here, 13.75 billion years ago, give or take 0.11 billion, the universe as we know it now was subatomic in size and expanded to the size of a soccer ball in 10 to 33 seconds. It went from that to this, and the universe is still expanding. Well, what's expanding into? Another universe? Is, you know, someone else seeing this wall coming at them and they're like, or they don't even know and is their existence is snuffed out, you know? Okay. It's this deep stuff, right? If you really sit down and think about it for a while. And of course, I've shared with you guys a number of links before that give you the relative size that we are in the middle of the universe. And really, we're not even an atomic particle in the vastness of space, but pretty crazy stuff. One more article on Wired talking about a telescope has found a galaxy's most massive star yet. And this massive star is 116 times as massive as our own sun. And they've got an image of it on NGC 3603. That's the name of it. And basically, it's out there in a star-making factory, one of these areas of high cluster of gas and dust and everything else. But anyway, this is what's being reported. Pretty cool stuff on the science front. Some of the stuff just is a little bit too big to comprehend at times as well. But let's go back to just regular tech stuff, okay? Let's talk about, talked a little bit about HTML5 on the last show. Found a link up here about a company called, that's releasing something called Sublime Video. And looks like they're putting together a player that's going to help us bridge the time from Flash to HTML5, which is pretty cool. They've got a working demo available, and have that linked up in the show notes. But exciting stuff coming in the video space. All right, a Progress resupply ship has been launched at the International Space Station. A Soyuz rocket launched early Wednesday, today, and it is due to dock with the International Space Station on Thursday. So really, that doesn't take them too long to get over there. So sometime while you're probably listening to the show today, it's going to dock 11:26 Eastern. And of course, the space shuttle is due to launch Sunday in the wee morning hours, I think 4:30 in the morning or something like that, Eastern time. So a lot of business going on at the International Space Station. Hey, I want to talk about Mark Cuban a little bit tonight. Boy, he's big in the news today. He has publicly said why Google is bad for the newspaper business, basically talking about Google being a big syndicator of content, aggregating stuff and then displaying it. And really all these news organizations are losing millions of dollars because of Google and how Google is evil. And, you know, it just goes on and on and on and on. Well, as someone points out, Mark Cuban is an investor in one of the absolute biggest aggregators of content, Mahalo. You know, he's an investor over there at Jason Galacanis's Mahalo.com. And what is Jason doing? There's several articles that have been basically pointing out Jason's site is, you know, ad, aggregated content, a little bit of original, aggregated content, links to other people's sites, ads, aggregated content. And so Mark Cuban's complaining about Google? Well, it just makes you wonder what the motivation is here. And so he's been called the carpet by a number of sites. Have this link up in the show notes. You guys can read his stuff. And, of course, some of the links that I found on basically people saying, hey, Mark, you know, you're going to say that about Google. Maybe you ought to look in your own backyard first. All right. We don't have a lot of listeners in India, but Indian mobile carriers are scrambling right now as the Indian government has went in and tore down about 300 illegal mobile towers. And the carriers are a little bit of in a tizzy right now, I guess they're saying. Because I guess this company called Nodia has been pulling all these cell towers in back of people's yards and on top of their houses and saying, hey, those are licensed commercial district. Sounds to me like maybe someone in the government has a connection with another company, maybe. We'll see. We'll see how this plays out. Hey, Amazon today has purchased touchscreen startup TouchCo, merging with the Kindle division. Now, surprisingly, iPad has touch and color, and Amazon today buys touchscreen startup TouchCo. Wonder why. I wonder if this is, about the time the Kindle 3 rumor mill is going to get up to speed. Now, something even more scary was that the director of national intelligence, this is a U.S. government official, his name Dennis Blair, told the National Intelligence the National Intelligence Committee that the United States is at risk of a crippling cyber attack. And this was an article that was up on Wired, and I'll put that up here in the on Ustream for you. The says that this major cyber attack could wreak havoc in the United States. And as I was coming home from picking my daughter up today, I actually heard we had the terrestrial radio turned on to a local talk radio station. And the guy that was on there was actually pimping. You know, here it is. This guy announces this. And then this guy's pimping a website that actually tells you what you need to have on hand in your home in case there is a cyber attack. Now, I told my daughter, write that website down because I want to go over and take a look at it just to take a peek and see what they suggested. And we haven't been able to find it. She either wrote it down incorrectly or it was misspelled so bad, I don't know. But I'm going to try to find that for you. But what do you think you're going to need if there's a major cyber attack against the United States? I would think probably what would probably be going down is power grid. Probably they would attack the power grid. They would go after all of our traffic infrastructure. They would probably go after the banking system and all of the major banking hubs. They would probably go after all of the major intersections of where all the internet, basically where all the internet routes are routed through. So what are you going to need on hand? Well, I guess first thing that comes to my mind is a generator. What do you guys think? What do you think that we need to prepare as citizens if there is this big cyber attack? And makes you wonder, doesn't it? And I don't necessarily know, what else you would buy besides a generator. Maybe you guys have some ideas. What do you think? Email me, geeknews@gmail.com, voicemail hotline, +1-619-342-7365. All right, have you ever wanted to go into a plant that makes Intel chips? Well, the folks over at PCPaper.com got access to a plant in Utah. And this is some pretty amazing stuff. They actually got unfettered access into the clean rooms. They walk through and show some of the pictures of some of the gear. And there's one shot that just absolutely is stunning. And the best way to describe it is you've got processing machines on either side. You got a gal or a man in a clean suit in front of a computer, and it just almost looks gold. It's amazing. It's an amazing image, but I'll have the link up to this in the show notes. And this is crazy stuff. It really is. It shows the everybody in clean suits and shows these processing machines. But I have this link on the show notes. It's worthy a read. Two or three pages of information here. And again, it was over at PCPER.com. Okay, next article up. It comes from the folks over at Engadget. Samsung is introducing a 2 terabyte shuffle with Eco Green. In other words, one of these Eco Green hard drives. And I will caution you, while these Eco Green hard drives are, basically use a lower amount of power, they generally do not have as much performance as a standard non-green drives. And I don't know if you can ever call a hard drive totally green, but Samsung, again, has introduced the EcoGreen HDD. It's a 1.5 terabyte and a 2 terabyte, they call it an F3EG. It's on a 3.0 gig SATA interface, and it has a 16 meg to 32 megs of buffer memory, and it should be making its way onto European and U.S. shelves this month, starting at $179. So while it will be great, I think, for archiving, just be careful. This is not a hard drive, I don't think, performance-wise, that you're going to want to put in a machine where you're going to be doing video and gaming and that kind of stuff. Great for storage, don't get me wrong. And actually, I had an eSATA go bad here in my Drobo yesterday, and I got to go buy some drives. So I'll probably wait. I'll probably go pick up Western Digital has some green drives as well, and I'll probably go and pick up one of those to replace the one that went bad in the Drobo. But anyway, keep your eye out on these, and be careful when you see this green stuff on labels on computer gear now. You know, really look close at those computer specs. All right, over on GigaOm, it appears Skype is making a play, of course, for the iPad. But right now, for at least the time being, there's going to be no Skype on the iPhone via 3G, but there is going to be an iPad app coming soon. So don't expect Skype to offer a version that allows calls over 3G in the near term, though the company has made it abundantly clear that releasing a 3G version of the app. So I'm sure maybe this is a thing that they have to deal with AT&T with. Now, as those of you that have been listening to the show here for the last couple of weeks or last week or so, you'll know that I'm going to be giving away an iPad on a show 1 week from, well, actually, it's going to be on February 11th. In order to win one of these, all you have to do is you have to go out on Twitter and basically use the hashtag GNC iPad. Basically, follow me on Twitter, and at the same time, basically announce, hey, Todd over at Geek News Central is giving away an iPad. Follow and retweet and use the hashtag GNC iPad. I've been collecting all of those that have been up on Twitter, and we're going to be giving away an iPad to one lucky listener on the 11th. So get out there, and if you've tweeted already, good luck. And hey, tell your friends and family members that you got a chance to win one. Maybe they'll tweet and follow the show as well. And we'll probably add a little extra little bonus thing in there on the show on the 11th as well for those of you that are tuning in on a regular basis. Okay, over on GigaOm, I had to laugh about this. 12 plus 1 signs that you have founder-itis. And, I've tried to get out of the habit of saying that Raw Voice is a startup. We're really kind of out of startup stage. We're in profitability stage and building stage and, growing. But I think we've been very successful with the cards that we were dealt and basically not going the venture capital route. I feel very proud of what the team has been able to create, produce, put on the street and make available. And the literally hundreds of thousands of dollars that we put into podcasters' pockets each month. And so I had to laugh here when I read this, because here's a few things. You've mistaken insomnia for work ethic. That's me. You're constantly looking to add hot new features to your product, such as Tweet This and Facebook Connect. No, we're beyond that. But yes, always looking to add hot features. You obsess over features, details over which you have no control. You have the constant urge to do everything. Boy, that's me. You have attention deficit disorder. I definitely with it's evident in this show sometimes, man. I tell you, it's very when you have juggling so much stuff, oh my goodness, you can't help but to have ADD a little bit. Your idea of dining out is picking up takeout food rather than having it delivered. Hey, what are we doing this weekend? We're locking ourselves into a suite over the weekend. We're going to be, dining in. Your favorite vacation over the past year consists of going to a conference for 72 hours. Just got back, spending a week in at CES working like a dog. Now, number 9, the last time you cried was last night. That wasn't me. I haven't cried. You mistake half a dozen t-shirts with company logos for your wardrobe. What am I wearing right now? you know, wearing a Raw Voice shirt. When people ask how your day went, you tell them it's only half over. You have more gray hair than equity. Now, I have some equity. I don't have more gray hair, but, you know, this is like dead on. And I just laugh because me. I don't consider myself having founder-itis. It's just, you got to work. 40-hour work weeks, it doesn't exist. Try 100, you know? Oh, my goodness. Anyway, I had to share with that with you guys. It was just too close to home. It really, really was. All right, voice IP gaining ground. So where will legacy voice make it stand? This is another article over on GigaOM. Well, that's a question we should all ask. Ask ourselves, where are landlines going? What is going to happen when landline growth gets to the point where, you know, your local telecom is going to have a hard time even being in business? Right now, voice over the internet penetration among U.S. businesses is going to increase rapidly over the next few years, reaching 79% by 2013, compared to 42% at the end of 2009. Current telephone networks are gradually being phased out as the world moves to IP. Right now in the U.S., only 78% of consumer homes have a landline and only 22% rely on them exclusively. And I would think that the 22% that are relying on them exclusively, don't get this wrong, boomers. Don't take this the wrong way. But it's probably our grandparents, really our older, maybe great-grandparents, if some of you have great-grandparents, that are not using cell technology or mobile phones. So what's going to happen with all that copper? Are they going to be able to, you know, resurrect themselves and, you know, use some of that infrastructure for some good? Are they going to be able to come up, you know, are they going to be able to increase the speed of DSL? You know, what's the game plan? What are telephone companies going to do? That's the question. What will happen when they go out of business? And there's no more dial tone. Will government have to come in and prop them up for another 25 years? This is a real question we have to think about. What's going to happen? I'd love to hear you guys' feedback on what do you guys think is going to happen to landlines and this legacy voice network. Now, I still have a voice network here, a copper-based one. And at some point, I'm going to switch it over and put it on voice IP. And the only reason I really had it was because of our tech podcast roundtable we do every month. I actually patch it in through my Telios, which basically allows me to record a little better quality than what I've been able to get over voice IP, but that's kind of switched now, and I've actually got enough bandwidth here to handle that. That's a good question. You guys remember I told you earlier it was cooler here in Hawaii? Well, the office right now I think has reached about 90. That didn't take too long. So anyway, love to hear his feedback. Geeknews@gmail.com, voicemail hotline, +1-619-342-7365. Article on Experian talking about, is Facebook going to be the largest news reader? Of course, I'm using right now Google Reader to find all the articles for the show and a variety of other sources. But is Facebook now going to become the largest news reader? That's a question we should explore. How many of you using Facebook to get your news? Twitter today, they've done some cool things with, if you hover over an @ sign, you actually, it pops up, shows the person that actually wrote the article, and you can follow them right there. I think that's pretty cool. I was playing with that. So if you haven't seen that implemented on your account yet, you will soon. And all it really does is allows you to get a little more interactivity of what's going on. Now, we talked a little earlier about Engadget shutting down audio comments for a week or so. But shutting them down today for a cooling off period. But there's a guy his name's John Gruber. He has the Daring Fireball website. He has never had comments on his website, and he's infuriated a lot of people over the years. So someone today has launched Daring Fireball with comments.net, and they're basically, it's an exact copy of his website. And I don't know how long this is going to last, but boy, oh boy, opened up the floodgates, and people were over there leaving comments like crazy. So this guy has essentially not allowed anyone to ever make comments on his website, and people have had to do retributions via blog posts and linking back or whatever. But now people are able to go over to this rogue site that was put up, Daring Fireball with comments.net, and which is mirroring his site, and it's got comments. So I'm going to be interested to see how this one plays out. Those of you that are Mac fans, you guys will know this guy. You may like him, you may hate him, but he writes a lot of stuff on them about the Mac operating system and Apple. All right, the iPhone OS 3.1.3 has been released. Of course, its update has brought a lot of woes to those of you that may have gotten a jailbroken phone. Don't upgrade, because if you do, your jailbreak may go away. So this is a minor patch by the folks over there at Apple, and popular jailbreaking tools Red Snow, Black Rain, and the Pwnage tool are currently not compatible with version 3.1.3. You make sure you check with whichever Pwnage tool you're using their website to make sure or not if they're ready to go before you do the upgrade, okay? So just be advised on that. All right, over on Ars Technica, hands-on new single window mode makes GIMP less gimpy. You know, I'll be honest with you, I'm tired of paying Photoshop money for upgrades, and I don't use 1/10 of the features in it. I'm even to the point where I don't even like to pay for the reduced price version for what I do. And I've been using GIMP a lot. And for those of you that have never used GIMP, it is a little bit, I guess it's tweaky to run because comes in like a bunch of modules. But GIMP's new single window mode in version 2.8 will introduce an improved user interface with an optional single window mode, which excites me a lot. Now, if you're a GIMP user, wait to see this. Actually, for those of you on your stream, I'll put this up on the screen for you. But that gives you kind of an indication of what GIMP is going to look like. You know, it's got this nice one-panel working interface, and that for me, that excites me. It's going to be an option. You don't have to run it this way. So you can test a single mode, and this is the way I like to work. I guess if you have multiple monitors and you want stuff spread all over the place, it's probably fine. But if you haven't given GIMP a try, it's a great free product. And I'll have a link up to the article, of course, in the show notes. All right, teens, your teenagers think that blogging is about as cool as Rick Ashley hits. This is over on Ars Technica. Only 14% of teenage internet users said that they blogged last year. That's half the number from 2006. Similarly, teens commenting on blogs is way down, 76% in 2006, just 52% in 2009. So I guess that shouldn't be surprising considering MySpace, Facebook, and everything else. But one thing they're not doing is they're not using Twitter, or at least in any large numbers. Only 8% of internet users between 12 and 17 use Twitter, while a full third of those between 18 and 29 do so. And this kind of matches some of the Nielsen data. But for these young folks, the trend is away from blogging, whereas for older adults, it's on the rise. Matter of fact, I got an email from Annie Brown. Annie's, of course, was one of our cameramen that was out with us at CES 2009, and his folks are wanting to start blogging. So they basically are looking for some info, and what I'm really looking for, I've tried hand-holding folks before and this kind of stuff, and I really am bad at it. So do you guys, if you guys find any links on some like blogging 101 sites, let me know and send me some links. I'm going to definitely kind of maybe point them in the way of going with WordPress .org and basically letting them blog over there and then getting them set up. It just makes it easy. They don't have to, if they want to move it later, they can. But anyway, if anyone has any cool blogging 101 sites that you find that you've used as a reference before, let me know. And Andy's folks are, they're not that old. And they're pretty savvy with computers, so they'll find their way around. But anyone who can help me out, send me some links quickly that I can hook them up with would be really cool. Now, you guys know I got a Mac Pro down in here underneath the desk, and boy, I had it just jamming. I was When we started processing the 143 videos for CES, I think the machine never come off of eight cores cramming away on compressing video for like almost 5 days. And even though it's a 16-core machine, for some reason, Final Cut only used eight of the 16 cores. But the new Mac Pros take a 20% performance hit when playing audio. Now, I wasn't doing any audio playing with this thing. I was just jamming on Final Cut and editing videos. But if you've got a Mac Pro, be advised that, you know, there is some issues. I don't know what's going to happen here, but a pretty good write-up on this, and it's over on Infinite. Actually, this is another one that's over on Ars Technica as well. So pretty good. A couple good articles are over there on Today. Do you know anybody that's in the business of being a broker, stock trader, anything like that? Well, the folks that are monitoring a variety of sites, the SEC is starting to watch what's going on Facebook and Twitter. And the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, FINRA, has updated its guidelines. And basically, folks can be fined for saying things they shouldn't about stock trades and so forth on some of these social media sites. And I know, I think that should be expected. You know, people have to be real careful as it is, but we'll see. Let's see if anyone gets whacked with a big $300,000 fine. They can afford it with those million-dollar bonuses all those guys are getting from those banks and so forth, especially if they work for AIG. So let's talk a little bit about the iPad. A lot of textbook publishers are heading to the iPad. Publishers Houghton Mifflin Harcourt, publisher Houghton Mifflin Harcourt, Kaplan Publishing, McGraw-Hill, Pearson have all signed deals to be among the first to port their textbooks over to Apple's new tablet. Heading to the iPad as well as the iPhone and iPod Touch will be their textbook study guides and test prep manuals. I wonder if they're going to be any cheaper. My daughter was talking to me about the price of books, and I tell you, I feel for her because you guys know that I was going to school pretty much full-time there for about 3 years. And matter of fact, I'm going to start up, take a couple more classes here shortly. And man, the price of, if those of you been out of school for a while and don't have kids in college, go ahead and price college level books. They're crazy, crazily priced, as much as tuition or more. It's nuts. It really, really is. But anyway, I wonder if they're going to digitally be reducing the price. I can almost bet there'll be no way that they'll do that. But for taking school class, man, it's just good to have a book. I just can't see having a textbook and using an iPad to do it. Unless it's indexed real good, searchable, yeah, that might be kind of cool. I don't know. Anybody using digital college books yet? How are they delivered to you? What are you paying for them? Everything I've had to buy print versions of. All right, over on Slashdot, the Hadron Collider is going to be running at half its maximum energy through 2011, and it's not going to boost all the way up to 100% energy capacity until 2013, and they're going to have to shut it down sometime in 2011 and replace some of its interconnects, and then they're going to be planning on pushing it all the way to its 14 TeV capacity in 2013. So this is kind of interesting that they are not going to get up to their highest power rate for another couple of years. I don't fully understand that, but we'll see what happens with that. Landmark ruling gives Australian ISP safe harbor. So those of you that are down under, today the Federal Court of Australia handed down its ruling in favor of the country's third largest ISP, iiNet. The case was backed by some of the largest media companies, including 20th Century Fox and Warner Brothers, accused iiNet of approving piracy by ignoring thousands of infringement notices. And today, basically, the Australian court says that, hey, they are going to be given a, you know, safe harbor. And that's good news for internet providers down in Australia. It really, really is. It's a big win for them and a major defeat for Fox and Warner Brothers and so forth. All right, over on discovery.com, news.discovery.com. Someone has made a map of the universe called the Milky Way Transit Authority. And assuming you had a a spacecraft that could navigate around the galaxy. They've got a map on how you would do that and essentially void most of the big pockets of rocks that are out there and some stars that may be in the way between you and a destination. So I had to laugh about this, and we could relate to this on how this would tie into a certain movie that's out there, The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Universe. So link up in the show notes. Okay, will the UK recording industry pay for ISP monitoring? Recently, the BBI was arguing that, yet again, that ISPs were exaggerating how much it would cost to implement a three-strikes-type regime in the UK, which would be required under Peter Mandelson's Digital Economy Bill, a.k.a. DEB. And it was folks were wondering if the BPI would be willing to foot the bill since they were so sure that it's that cheap and it's cheap to do. And so now it turns out that some folks in the legislature, or I guess I don't know if you guys want, if probably not the correct way to call, it's not the legislature, but your House of Commons and so forth in the UK are thinking that this might actually be a good idea for BPI to pay ISPs to do this monitoring. So I wonder how fast the folks at BPI will be backpedaling on their requirements here. So this is kind of fun. This is nice to see we're putting it back in BPI's lap, right? So very, very cool stuff. All right, I have the link up to that in the show notes, of course. And I guess in Canada, those of you that are dealing with the CBC, I guess the CBC up in Canada had some new terms, some licensing terms for its content, and basically laid out all these ridiculous rules that would apply to any type of quoting and linking back to them and what they would have to do to what people would have to link or get permission to talk about any of their content online. And this is causing quite the stir there. And the CBC has tried to come out and make some adjustments to their initial claims on their licensing policy, but they still, it appears, don't fully get it. But I'd like to hear from some of our listeners in Canada on if you guys are close to this source and what's going on and what CBC is doing and how the press is playing this up or down, or if they're getting any type of, if this is getting any headway up there on people having an outcry in them. And, of course, Canada, like the United States and UK, we're all facing these draconian copyright rules that continue to, you know, basically slow things down. So very cool stuff tonight. Anyway, that's the end of regular content. I do have a voicemail for us that came in, and I think I've got some emails as well. As always, you can send comments to geeknews@gmail.com. geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is +1-619-342-7365. All right, here comes, it's an iPad comment, and this was actually emailed to me. And you guys can always email audio files as well. So let's go ahead and I haven't previewed this, so we'll see what someone has to say. Here we go.
Todd, Brian here.
Hey, Brian.
I felt the need to weigh in on the iPad.
You did.
But before I say anything, I just want you to know that I am not someone who's brand loyal. I'm kind of Benedict Arnoldish when it comes to spending my money.
Oh, good.
Whoever's got the better product, that's who's getting mine. But I was interested enough in the iPad to check out what was being said about it and take a look at the pictures. You know, for me, my ideal portable device would be about 4 by 6 inches, maybe 3.5 by 5, and hopefully most of that would be screen. It would be a phone with good 3G coverage and the ability to plug in a keyboard and monitor. So until that device is available, I'll check out whatever is the latest in portables. Anyway, the thing about the iPad that's most perplexing, I guess, to me, is the ergonomics or form factor. I mean, how are you going to comfortably type and see the screen at the same time?
True.
I mean, maybe I'm overlooking the obvious, or I'm sure someone's going to tell me how uninformed I am. But unless you're leaning over the thing, or you have it propped up with your wrist bent back, well, it's going to start a carpal tunnel epidemic, isn't it?
Or type with our thumbs.
I mean, unless you're real good at one-handed typing, It's too big to do the thumb typing. I guess it would work if you were sitting on a stool at the bar, or if you put your feet up on the coffee table and hold it up on your knees. But for instance, when you're on an airplane, where do you put your laptop? On that little tray in front of you, right?
Yep.
Well, try that with the iPad.
Crash.
I mean, if you lay it flat, you're going to have to lean over it if you want to type. No reclining for you on that flight.
That's a fact.
Or if you prop it up, the bottom is probably going to keep sliding out on you. I mean, and you're going to need to bend your wrist back like a contortionist. Not to mention when the stewardess brings you cocktail, you might have to ask your fellow passenger, excuse me, buddy, but could you hold my iPad for a minute? Okay, so it's good for reading e-books. Well, that seems obvious.
Yep.
But what about watching video? Are you really going to want to hold that thing the whole time you watch an entire movie?
Accessories.
I doubt it. You know, my girlfriend likes to watch the Netflix on the laptop in bed, so it just sits there between us, you know, with the screen bent at a good angle.
Yeah.
But what are you going to do with the iPad? Take turns holding it? Or lean it back against a stack of books?
Or a pillow?
You know, about the only time I ever use a notebook with the screen folded all the way open, as close to flat as it'll go, is, well, I'm not ashamed to admit it. I keep a netbook in the magazine rack in the downstairs bathroom. Now, sitting on the toilet, something flat like a tablet resting on your knees, that works. So that is one place I could see the iPad getting some use, in the toilet. So the toilet and the bar. Please tell me I'm wrong. I'll gladly stand corrected. You know, I imagine when the first laptop was made, the engineer brought it into the lab and the technicians were standing there looking at it and they leaned it up on something so they could all see the screen. And one of them said, hey, I got an idea. Let's cut it in half and put a hinge on it. All right, then. Sorry about the long message.
You can call or leave a message anytime. You have got the best chops, dude. You know, you have got to be on radio already. With a voice like that, that's a million-dollar voice. You do realize that, right? I've told you that before. You have got, you can send comments every show. We're more than happy to take them. Oh, I love it when you call. I definitely appreciate the feedback. And I think you're dead on. I think you're dead on. And yes, I agree. Someone in the chat room is saying, he needs a show. Yes, you need your own show, dude. You're funny. So someone here says, hey, we have a radio station that could use his voice. You're not unemployed, are you? Do you need a job? We got someone here that is actually offering you up a job in the chat room. So matter of fact, I want to work with you. The heck with everyone else. I'm first. Great, man. I love your voice. You really have great voice. And people that are blessed with a voice like that, I hope you're making $1 million a year with it. I really do. But besides that, thanks for the comments. It is great. Okay, let me go ahead and get into the actual email comments here. Of course, Mike Dell out in Michigan said, hey, Todd, make sure you bring your heavy jacket. Looks like Friday and Saturday might get a little deep. I'm looking at the weather, dude. Doesn't look like it. Got an email from Gene. Actually, Gene, we'll be reaching out to you and see if we can help you with the blogging. One thing that I did find interesting here is I do want to read some of this. It says, my son Andy pointed me in your direction. Many people suggest I start blogging. It's been in the back of mind for years. Yesterday, I decided the time is now. I feel the need to do this because my brain is a repository of interesting facts and tidbits I pick up daily because of my podcast addiction. Listen to this. Todd, I have 4 dogs and I walk a few others, and I'm habit of listening to podcasts during my 4 hours of daily walking. It's like a serotonin high, bombarded with information, thoughts, and ideas, and excited to share what I learned today. And I would love to have an interactive blog where others can share what they've learned today as well. So anyway, very cool stuff. I love it when I hear from people that are consuming this content, feeding their brains with great material, getting educated, getting informed. No other medium. Podcasting is it, folks. It really is. We can't lose sight of that. We really, really can't. And anyway, let me go ahead and move down here. Got an email from Ken. Hey, Todd, I'm a longtime Thunderbird user. TV 3.0 has been available for some time. I found that out by several of you, Ken, and I actually downloaded it, and I'm going to share my thoughts on Thunderbird 3.0 in a second. I recently switched to a new computer, did not realize that I was using an old 2.0 version. And when I downloaded Thunderbird for the new computer and actually decided to go with the new version, to my dismay, it does not support POP3 accounts on mail servers. It supports both POP3 and IMAP. As near as I can tell, there is no reasonable way around the limitation. There's a thread I'm following on the Mozilla message board for Thunderbird that still has not been answered. And there are a lot of people commenting that the Thunderbird developers added some dumb smart code to try and automate the decision on what type of email you want and always default to IMAP. The mail server supports both, and there's no way to override the decision. I support a number of other people using Thunderbird, and I'm currently telling them not to switch to TB3 until this problem is fixed. If this very basic choice is screwed up, I wonder what else is wrong with it. If you only use IMAP, then you should be fine. I prefer to continue with POP3 because I read email from multiple computers and want to be able to have copies of all emails on my system, not just on the server. It's also a form of redundancy and a backup of email. Another related issue I see is that if you use the default upgrade option, Thunderbird, you end up with no copies of the TB upgrade download. It goes into temp, and it took me a while to find out where to download 2.0.23. So I'm always downloading manually, at least on one system from now on, to make sure I have a copy of the old Thunderbird. Thanks for your work and great show, Ken. Ken, you know what? I am not impressed with the new Thunderbird. As soon as someone says, it's already there, I went out and bam, I downloaded it, installed it, and made sure I installed it to a different directory. So I have my old version 2 installed, and they will work together. But I was using a bandwidth monitoring program on my EVDO connection. And when Thunderbird was opened up, in about 2 hours, it used about 300 megs of bandwidth. And I don't know what this thing's doing, but it is like continuously indexing and re-updating. And I have lots of folders in my Gmail setting. I have everything in multiple folders. And this thing was going crazy. Now, I let it run overnight with the app open, and that seemed to kind of calm it down. It must be it got it all synced up and indexed or whatever it was doing. But I probably have maybe actively 30,000 emails in a couple of accounts. And each account, maybe 30,000 each, archived by year and so forth. And its performance is not that good. And I'm right now more leaning to staying with 2. I'm not real pleased with it. It's supposed to be easier, but its interface is a little funky. I like the folder style system of 2.0 where I can, I've got everything organized real nice. And it just drove me crazy. I'm going to give it a little time and see if it works, but I'm keeping 2.0 installed in case I just want to kill 3 but it definitely didn't do what I thought it would do. Got an email from Jeffrey. He said, hey, check out the specs on the tablet you interviewed at NVIDIA. This already surpasses what the iPad could do, and I'll have that linked up in the show notes. I want to thank Ian for sending me a link. He said, hey, Todd, if your wife is worried about you, actually, I'm waiting for this to load. Todd, enjoyed your last show and took note of your wife's concern over your health. She's not concerned my health. She just makes me get a physical every year. It's on. She's got it on her calendar. When it's physical time, she books it, and I'm going. There's really no choice. She does care. She does care about my health because, something happens to me. She gets the insurance, but you know how far that goes. Anyway, he's enclosing two PDF copies of the Royal Canadian Air Force pamphlets, which contain an exercise program that the RCFA used for decades. The 5BX program is for men, while the XBX is for women. You may want to print out a copy and take it with you on the road. The program is simple, takes about 10 minutes a day, and requires absolutely no equipment or apparatus. Originally designed for RCF personnel who were located in remote northern stations without access to gyms or exercise equipment. These pamphlets, although sold in the millions, are long out of print. They were made available on the web by John Orban, the son of the original author, Dr. William Orban Ian. Hey, Ian, man, these are good. This is perfect for hotel usage. This absolutely beautiful. Thanks for sending those over. Something that's really I can use. Are these in the public domain, I guess? I'm assuming they are. I'd like to put these up and link them somewhere. Maybe you can give me some feedback. And but very, very cool. Thank you for sending those over. She appreciates it, and so do I. Got an email from Logan. He's talking about the Roku. Hey, Todd, I mailed you earlier to tell you about leaving Comcast cable TV and going over to the air, going to an over-the-air television. I've added the Roku player to my entertainment center while Netflix is good over the Xbox, but is, oh, actually, I think I've already, no, this is a new one, but it is too complicated for my wife. The Roku is great in its simplicity after being set up. The interface is straightforward. The remote is simple. My wife can easily navigate to her Facebook pictures, watch videos from many different sources. She was also very happy about the Pandora streaming music. The only downside I've seen is the lack of being able to connect a keyboard to the Roku. There is an USB connection. The keyboard would make it easier to enter the wireless passkey. My key is 128 characters. Logan, why are you doing 128 characters? Anyway, he says, my key is 128 characters. It could be overkill, but I feel safe because of the lack of keyboard support. I pulled a Cat 5 line to it. I like this little box so much, I purchased two so far for family members. By the way, I found GNC and the Blip TV on the Roku. As a side note, I'm coming out next week to Oahu to visit my daughter. While you're comfortable to a jet across the nation, I've only flown a handful of times in 50-plus years. Do you travel on any? Do you have any tips on air travel? I also enjoy the weather reports you give. I'm looking forward to warm weather you have there. Oh, it's been a little chilly here the last couple of days. Don't worry, it's going to warm up. Here in Southwest Florida, it's been cold, wet winter. Last 15 days of the new year were under 70. Brr. Take care. Enjoy the show very much. Thank you, Logan. Don't mean to scare you. Don't worry. The weather will be warm here. It's just a little trend of cold air coming through. It'll warm up. But I sent you a whole bunch of tips on air travel. I always just say get there early, dress comfortable, drink lots of water, refrain from alcohol, just enjoy it, have fun. Don't carry, you know, don't carry 50 bags in or 50 pounds worth of stuff on the airplane. You know, just take it easy and give yourself plenty of time, and that way you won't get stressed out. And make sure you have pants that aren't going to fall down to your ankles when you take your belt off to go through security. And also make sure you don't have any holes in your socks like I had last week. You know what my wife says? When you have holes in your socks, just throw those in the trash. Don't bring those home. You don't know. You get your shoes on, you're halfway, you're like, I feel something there. Uh-oh, that socks needs to go. It's too late then. All right. Thanks, Bo, for your email on, yes, Thunderbird is out of beta, and it's available online. Thanks for that. I got an email from Michael. It says, hey, Todd, trying to add to my geek knowledge. I put a new 160-gig hard drive in my old PC and loaded Ubuntu on it. Can you or any of the Ohana tell me where I could find a good book or website to help me my quest? Great podcast. Keep up the good work. And this is, again, he's put Ubuntu on there. He wants to get up to speed on that in a bigger way. All right, folks, that's it for tonight on email and voicemails. Right on time. Beautiful. So if you guys have any suggestions for the Ohana on where to send them to learn about Ubuntu or to some blogging tips, blogging, you know, getting set up to start blogging as well, that would be great. I'll dig around as well, but I appreciate any of you guys giving feedback as well. Hey, well, anyway, I'm off to the Windy City. Next show, we'll be back here in Honolulu. I fly back Monday, get in about 3 in the afternoon. Probably come in that and, you know, try to get adjusted. I'm sure it will be a show where I am like, anyway, that's the plan. And wish me luck in not getting snowed in O'Hare. And hopefully I'll get back here on time. If not, it is what it is, right? Nothing you can really do about it. And everyone have a great week, great weekend. And definitely check out techpodcast.tv. We're starting to turn on other podcasters over there to put their content up as well. So I look forward to having you guys check out all the great content that's going to be on that site, of course, techpodcast.com as well. And hey, everyone, take care. And we'll have lots to talk about when I come back Monday. I'll give you guys some juicy tips on some of the secret stuff we're going to talk about during our meeting in Chicago. Everyone, take care and aloha.